Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today we're going to recap some top news stories, of course, involving Antonio Brown. We're also going to dip into the Steelers' performance in the Pro Bowl and some of the big plays that came with that, and kind of just bouncing off of some of the narratives I brought up last week. And finally, we'll go over some of the top results of the 2020 Senior Bowl. Let's get into it. All right, it's Monday, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Hope everyone had a good weekend. We're going to start off with some top stories before we delve into the Pro Bowl and the other things that that happened that you could watch this weekend pertaining to football. First and foremost, going to address a national news point here. Kobe Bryant, the NBA legend, Los Angeles Laker, died in a helicopter accident. To me, this is a death that sort of transcends just basketball. This isn't just something that I think impacts the one sport. Kobe Bryant's a sports figure that was recognized across all sports. And, you know, you saw a huge reaction across the board, especially also with several Steelers and Pittsburgh icons taking notice. Just if you look across the board on social media, a lot of people were talking about how this impacted them. James Conner tweeted out, he said, "I just met Kobe last Wednesday. I was in his office talking about our books and how every day in life is a grind. He said, I don't believe this." He told Kobe that I'm going to be a legend. He's going to be legendary like him. And they simply said, "Just grind and grind every day." He said, "I'm truly thankful I was able to hear that from him days after he passed or days before he passed. I got to go harder, and if I tell you I love you, I mean it." Mike Hilton, other players as well, Lynn Swann and Rod Woodson also chimed in. Jerome Bettis, Bill Cowher. This is why I brought this up, is that this was an untimely death. Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna. Supposedly they were on their way to a game of hers, and it's just a tragic story. And one thing that I think touched me the most was the response from Steelers linebacker Vince Williams. And his response was interesting because it went over several tweets. And he said, "This is my first one. This is the first celebrity death that hit me. I apologize for my ignorance before this. I greatly underestimated the power of entertainment, its reach, and its influence. I learned a lesson today, and it sucks. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant." Vince later went on to explain what he meant, in that he has made fun of people in the past for their pain in other celebrities dying. He said he most notably he made fun of Soulja Boy, the rapper, once for crying at an event honoring Whitney Houston, saying that he didn't know them, but he's saying this experience has changed him. In other tweets, Vince Williams went on to say, like, he now understands that, and I think that's the impact that everyone's kind of having on this situation. This wasn't just a basketball thing. This was a huge, I think, national and international event that a lot of people recognize, a lot of people respect, and are saddened to hear what happened, as I am. You know, growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, Kobe's a legendary hero for any sports fan that watched the game and respected anyone who was just being great and doing amazing things out there. And I think it's just another note for everyone else out there. If you got a loved one, tell them that you love them. You never know when you're going to lose somebody. Wanted to start the show off. Sorry to start it off with such a solemn note, but I felt like it was something important to note, considering its impact on the sports world and how many different Steelers, past, present, all responded to it. Moving forward, we're going to talk about, let's talk about Antonio Brown, because, you know, it's crazy. Last Friday, I recorded a little earlier in the evening. I was like, hey, let me get this out as best as I can. And up until the time I recorded, there was no new Antonio Brown developments. And I was like, all right, this is the first show I don't have to talk about Antonio Brown in a while. And here we go. So Shortly after that, Antonio Brown turned himself into the police, which was a good thing because that means there wasn't a standoff. And like some of the, there was the TMZ reporting that he locked himself in his house and we weren't sure how that was going to go. But Antonio Brown turned himself in. There were reports, there were pictures of him in court wearing an anti-suicide smock, basically acknowledging that they were keeping a close watch on him, being an athlete. And it seemed like they understood that he was going through a lot of things. Andy Slater from Fox Sports was reporting on this first and showing the pictures. It said that he Antonio Brown's bond was set at $100,000 for the burglary and battery charge, and that the judge ordered Antonio Brown to wear a GPS monitor, surrender his passport, and undergo a mental health evaluation. ESPN's Cameron Wolf noted that the anti-suicide smock is standard for celebrities with cases like Brown due to the sudden shock of incarceration and how that can impact people of fame and status and being thrown behind bars so quickly. But you know, I think bottom line beyond all this, the big note, the big news to note here is that Antonio Brown is being ordered to seek mental health treatment, or at least some sort of help, that evaluation that's going to at least get a chance for doctors to get a look at his psyche, and court ordered, because you know, by all indications, Antonio Brown wasn't going to do this of his own volition. He was going to continue on whatever path he was on, and even you saw, you know, leaving the courthouse, you know, he was being there was a video of him leaving the courthouse and with his attorney, and he wasn't responding to any of the reporters. And as he was leaving the courthouse, he just takes off in front of his attorney and starts running one direction. And you hear his attorney yell several times, "Antonio, that's the wrong way. The car is over here." And Antonio Brown keeps going for at least like a minute before he turns back around and comes back. And just is like walking to the car, and he's telling his attorney to, you know, have to baby him and stuff like that. But all in all, just it's a further development in the Antonio Brown case. At least this part of it didn't go horribly wrong with any future further altercations with the police. So that, I think, is worthy of note. We'll keep tabs on this situation as it continues. Sorry for those who don't like hearing about the Antonio Brown stories. That's just part of the business. He's a former Steeler and still, you know, somewhat of a legendary Steeler for all the things that he was doing, and he was on a path to the Hall of Fame. So with that, we'll get into our first break, and then I'm going to start talking about the Pro Bowl, because the Steelers made some pretty big plays. All right, listen up, guys. You know you guys can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. And that's BlueChew.com, and blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's F-R-E-E, free. When you use our special promo code NFL, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NFL to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, so let's talk about the Pro Bowl. Now, the final score, the AFC won 38-33. It was, you know, of course, the Pro Bowl, it's mostly offensive. It's, you know, it's more about big plays, and everyone's trying not to hurt each other and making sure that they don't get hurt themselves, but also people trying to show out and put on a good show. And there were some interesting plays in this one, some creativity and some interesting moments. Overall, it was kind of an interesting day, because you had Lamar Jackson being the leading quarterback, threw for 185 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Deshaun Deshaun Watson came in, went 14 of 20 for a touchdown and an interception. Ryan Tannehill, like his time this season, he threw one pass for two passes for one completion, but one for 60 yards and a touchdown. So that's just kind of it's funny that how that just embodies what Ryan Tannehill was for the Titans this year. But anyways. For the rest of the AFC, I mean, we all know the Steelers didn't have any offensive players playing in this game. Both DeCastro and Pouncey were invited, both turned them down, and had people play in their steads. However, on the defensive side of the ball, that's where things got interesting, because all four of the Steelers' players in this game made some plays. Now, there were Cameron Hayward. He had a tackle, as well as one pass defensed and two quarterback hits in this game. Cam Hayward showing once again, you know, that hey, he can make some plays here and there. And I think it's cool for the Steelers to see the guy who I see as the face of their team right now, the guy that sort of embodies what the defense is all about. It's cool to see him make some plays out there. Minkah Fitzpatrick also had a tackle and a pass defensed. Not a huge day for him, but you know, it's tough sometimes for safeties. It's often more about what just like what plays come to you that that kind of make the point for you. But the guys that made the big splash plays, you had Joe Hayden, who finished the game with two tackles and an interception. He intercepted an Ezekiel Elliott jump pass where Elliott kind of, you know, took the pitch and then ran out wide. Hayden sort of came up initially, then backed off, read the play, and as it was just a floater that was kind of just thrown up, Hayden jumped under it, made the play, and then everyone ran to the end zone to celebrate with him. So that was kind of interesting seeing that. It was cool seeing, like, you know, you had like Jamal Adams and other safeties and other players just kind of running with him. So that was kind of cool. But the big play of the day for the Steelers was the final score of the AFC that gave them the lead that they eventually held on to for the win, and it came from T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt. There was a sack and a strip fumble caused by Calais Campbell. T.J. Watt picked it up and ran it all the way back for an 80-yard touchdown. It was kind of a cool little scene there. You got to see Watt, you know, sprint down to the sidelines, and then you see the entire AFC team, even the offensive players, came running behind him. And somebody even got on the field before he crossed the end zone. Like, that would have been a problem in a proper NFL game. But you know, it was kind of cool. Even Lamar Jackson, who, you know, is kind of a sworn enemy of T.J. Watt, was celebrating him. Just everyone taking in the moment. T.J. Watt scored the touchdown. They all posed together. There was like a little red carpet area that they kind of had set up for the moment. So it was kind of cool seeing that. Him and Hayden getting some splash plays. But again, I think the big thing about this entire weekend for the Steelers at the Pro Bowl, it's just the experience. You wanted the young guys to kind of get the experience with the old guys. You wanted them to take it in and to experience what it's like to be recognized like this with other best players in the NFL. And, I think it's an interesting opportunity. Again, you know, we talked about how last week Mark Caboli reported in The Athletic that Cam Hayward's talking about, you know, potentially taking an extension from the Steelers that might be willing to help them with their cap situation, as well as, you know, making sure that they take care of him. They're seeing all that there, and because, you know, him and Hayden, they're veterans. They got their money, and they're going to, you know, Hayward's probably got at least one more contract. It definitely has at least one more contract, and it may have another one depending on how long he wants to play in the NFL. But, you know, they're both guys that are being paid. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick are on their rookie deals and the first-round picks. They're making good money, but they're about to make so much more money when their contracts are up. Now, Fitzpatrick still has, like, two more years before the Steelers have to even worry about that. But this is the year for T.J. Watt. You know, this is his fourth season. This means that next year he will be most likely be given the fifth-year option. And that'll be a lot of money, and then eventually the Steelers will have to pay him big money. Dale Lally wrote an interesting piece for DKPittsburghSports.com earlier in the offseason, saying it may behoove the Steelers to kind of forego the fifth-year option and just get the extension done as soon as possible, because the cost of pass rushers in the market may skyrocket very soon. So, and they may end up having to set the market with TJ Watt, especially if he has another supreme year like he did this year. I mean, we still won't know if he's Defensive Player of the Year until this next weekend. That's when the voting will happen, on the Saturday before the Super Bowl. So that's all up in the air. But even if he doesn't get Defensive Player of the Year, he's going to be one of the players that people around the country will stop and look for and say, hey, you know what? I know that guy. He was really good the past 2 years. I want to see what he does this year. And he's going to gain more national attention. So when you got people like him and people like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who I also have an article up on DKPittsburghSports.com today about, and how the Steelers and how and why the Steelers can build around him and the skills he has. I'm not going to delve all into this show. I'm going to talk about this later in the week after you get some time to read it. But go check out the article on DKPittsburghSports.com. It's my latest Carter's Classroom column. So go check that out there, where we talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick, break down some film, break down some interesting stats that I found. But I think it's really great for Watt and Fitzpatrick to take in these moments. Watt getting the big splash play, experiencing it with all the other top athletes in the AFC. Fitzpatrick kind of getting to interact with the other great safeties in the game. And then, Hayden and Hayward getting a chance to take in the respect that they've earned for what they've been doing in the NFL. So all in all, good weekend for the Steelers at the Pro Bowl. Ultimately, the positive thing was nobody got hurt. There's nothing to talk about as far as any injuries that could that people are going to be like, oh, did they have to get surgery? Oh, that's always the nightmare, right, of what's going on in the Pro Bowl. So good weekend for them, and good weekend for the Steelers organization seeing their guys get some success. We're going to get into one more break, and then I'm going to get into a general look at what happened in the Senior Bowl on Saturday. All right, and finally, we're going to get into the Senior Bowl. Talked about some of the players and everything you should watch out for last week, so figured good to follow up on just some notes. I haven't had a chance to really break down all the film on it, because there was so much that was happening, and it was the weekend, and I'm trying to get ahead on a lot of other things that we're working on here, both for the podcast and for DK Pittsburgh Sports. But figured we could take some time to talk about the obvious things that you were able to see from the game. Honestly, there were some real moments where I saw the pass protection break down, and I saw some interesting edge rushing moments for the teams involved. Saw two sacks by the guy from Syracuse. I forget his name at the moment. But there were some really interesting plays there. There were some offensive linemen that really didn't shine as brightly as I thought they would. But still, the guys that are really going to shine for the offensive line, they're going top tier. And they're going to be the guys that we're all kind of like sitting back and saying, whoa, like, you know, they're going top of the line. I'll get into a bit of Mel Kiper did a mock draft. I'll get into a bit of that tomorrow when we talk about it. I know we're supposed to do mock draft Mondays, but there's no new mock draft that I've seen on the Draft Network today, so we'll get into that if they release one soon. But top storylines in the game, Justin Herbert kind of confirmed that he was going to be the man. I think he got the Player of the Game award. He threw 12 passes, completing 9 for 83 yards and a touchdown. Threw some real good lasers, just throwing up dots here and there, just hitting people in their routes. Some balls went through receivers' hands, but he looked really sharp, as he should have. He needed to impress, and I think he did. There was an article from the Draft Network stating their top takeaways from the game, and their number one takeaway was that Justin Herbert is going to go in the top 15 of the picks in this draft class. I think that I kind of felt like that was going to happen anyways, but this just confirms the idea that he's going to be revered as a top-tier quarterback. He has the build, he has the arm, he has what you're looking for, and he made the plays in this game to kind of confirm what you're thinking. Now, of course, there's going to be the combine, there's going to be interviews, there's going to be all these different things that happen, and we're going to talk about this 1,000 times. But ultimately, Herbert kind of solidified where he was. Other quarterbacks to look at that were kind of interesting. You had some lackluster performances. Jordan Love was 4 of 6 for 26 yards, but he really didn't have a really good chance to shine in this game. You think that maybe he'll get a better chance to show what he has in the combine, and show, and more so, it's going to be more about like his work ethic and what teams gain from just talking to him and talking to his coaches and seeing what kind of a player that he is. Jalen Hurts, the guy that we talked about coming into the weekend, he was one of the main focuses of the Senior Bowl. A lot of people wanted to see how he performed. He finished the game going 6 of 13 for 58 yards, one touchdown thrown and one interception thrown. He had a few plays where he was kind of under siege and he had to dodge some sacks, and he threw one pass that he really shouldn't have. It got intercepted. He also didn't have a big day rushing. He had 6 carries for negative 7 yards. Total, though, you know, some of those were just, you know, what, you know, just bad situations. He did get off a 14-yard run. That was impressive. The other quarterback that impressed was Anthony Gordon. He went 8 of 12 for 69 yards. Nice, and 2 touchdowns. So, good for him. If you guys remember, the running back I said that you most likely would want to look at in this game was Darius Anderson, and he did impress. 7 carries for 43 yards, but the big day for him was having 2 catches for 87 yards for a touchdown. Most notably, there was one of those catches went for 75 yards, and that was the score that he had on a wheel route. And that was what Darius Anderson kind of showed all year. He's a receiving back. He's going to be that kind of guy that if he gets out in space, he's dangerous. That was pretty cool. Other notable running backs that played, Joshua Kelly of UCLA had 15 carries for 105 yards, no touchdowns. Antonio Gibson had 11 carries for 68 yards. LaMichael Perrine had 7 carries for 42 yards. But again, I don't really think that the Steelers, if you're looking for a running back, you're not looking for another guy that's going to battle with Snell and Samuels and Connor for, you know, and be playing our running back by committee. If you're looking for a running back in that second round pick, you're looking for a guy who's going to be a starter this year and who's going to be a dynamic player. So there's that. But I will say this, we did see some dynamic plays made by these wide receivers, and it's very interesting. It's another part of that Draft Network article that they pointed out. They said that the biggest takeaway they had was that every team, no matter what your situation, needs to draft a wide receiver from this class because it's just that good, and it definitely showed. Now, as I was made clear to by some of our loyal listeners who are Tennessee Volunteer fans, I forgot to mention Jawan Jennings as part of the wide receivers to watch in this game. And I apologize because I do like Jawan Jennings, and I've talked about him during the season. I liked some of the plays that he made for Tennessee. So very sorry, Volunteer fans. And Jawan Jennings made a pretty big play. He caught a touchdown pass. I believe it was an 18-yarder. It was a really nice throw from Jalen Hurts. But I mean, it was right into the corner. He ran a good route. Jawan Jennings is a guy, he looks like to me like he's just a playmaker. No matter where you give him a chance to make a play at, he's going to find a way to catch the ball, make somebody miss, run somebody over. I like the cut of his jib, if you will. So he made some big plays. There was a really impressive one-handed catch from Antonio Gandy-Golden, the guy I talked about that was like 6'4", I want to say. Yeah, the super tall guy. He had a one-handed catch in the corner of the end zone on a falling away pass by Anthony Gordon. This was my play of the day for the Senior Bowl. It was just a wow moment because he was kind of falling down. And he just sidearmed it, and it was a pretty ball. Just went to the corner, and Gandy Golden was being covered pretty well, and he just snagged it with one hand, pulled it in. It looked pretty smooth. Like it live, I didn't think he used one hand. I thought it was two hands. That was pretty good. So there was that. Among the tight ends, not a whole lot impressed. Bryson Hopkins, only 2 catches for 19 yards. Adam Trautman, only 2 catches for 10 yards. And look, the whole thing with the Senior Bowl, it's not about this is the defining moment for all these guys. This is just another, this is just another step for them to go through to show, hey, I have this in my tank. Take another look at me, because again, we're gonna see the scouting combine is gonna be in about a month. It's gonna be, everyone's gonna talk about that, and 40 times and shuttle times and cone times and spark scores, and then we're gonna be getting into what teams, which teams are interviewing whom. So there's a long way to go in this process, but the Senior Bowl is one fun way to kind of see these guys in action one last time before they get into into the draft. So we'll be keeping a note on that. I'll be back tomorrow talking more things about the draft class. Mel Kiper released his mock draft last week. We're going to talk about that. Also have a top story I'm going to bring up tomorrow. But thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. If you're if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe via Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts being hosted. If you'd like to support the show, please go on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can. Leave a 5-star review and a positive comment. Those help us, those help me at the show get the word out about what we're doing here at Locked On Steelers and how much fun it is. We have a great community here. I'm going to note and get back to doing what Tony and I were doing. Noting the people who were giving us 5-star reviews. So Penn Stillers did one last week. I did not want to leave you out. It was a nice 5-star review saying the best Steelers coverage. Love it. Listen to it every day. First thing I listen to every day as soon as I get to work. Helps kick the day off on a good note. So thank you, Penn Stillers, for the very kind words. Glad you're with us. If you want to be more with us, you can follow me on Twitter, at Carter Critiques. I will follow you back. Hit me with a DM. Hit me with an at. Feel free to chat with it anytime. I do get into it with fans. If you ask a question I'm going to talk about later on the show, I don't want to get right into it because I want to make sure that everyone's kind of engaged. I'm always down to interact with you guys. You can interact with me more if you're on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You'll find our Facebook group. Just ask to get in. I'll let you in right away. We have hundreds of loyal listeners that are in there and regularly interact with everyone all the time. I'm in there myself. I'll interact with people when I find the time. So be sure to reach out to us either which of those ways. It's great to interact with you guys. Thanks for being loyal listeners of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'll be back tomorrow with another Daily Dose on the Steelers.